This conference will now be recorded.
So, okay. Charles, would you give us a moment?
Our Father in heaven, may our heads this morning, and we thank you for the many blessings that we enjoy. We're so grateful for this part of the country in which we live. We're isolated from many of the problems of the world. We're grateful for the people here. We pray that thou will bless us as we look at the power needs of this community. We pray that we can do those things with for the best interest of the community. We say this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't ever get any minutes to review. I don't know whether anything was sent or not.
April, did we send minutes out?
I read them.
Hey, April, can you approve?
Yes, I had to unmute my phone, so I emailed them to everybody. Dean had some changes that I made. I can pull them up right now if everyone wants to review it. It's your choice.
April, did you make changes after you mailed them out?
Yes. I will pull it up right now and show you the changes I made for April. Can you guys see that?
No.
No?
I can see it, but I'm right. Well, what we can do is we can table those minutes and we can approve them on the next meeting. Is that okay, Mac?
Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay, so what's next on the agenda?
As system updates, and Scott, you want to go ahead and start? You better come up front so they can see your pretty face.
Here, better. So that's really hard to cross quick was.
Yeah. All right. Regulator at Anaclyne Substation. We have one regulator that was having tapping problems.
I can't understand what anybody's saying.
Okay, we'll get it a little bit closer to you.
Here's the chair. See if they'll make it a little easier.
Pam, can you hear me any better?
That's better. Thank you.
All right, so we have a regulator at Anaclyne Substation that was having some issues. We have one that we, as a spare on the dock, that we decided we messed around with it, tried to make some changes, wasn't getting any better, swapped the control out, different things. But so we took the spare regulator out, swapped it out, brought it back here. It's working good now. Anaclyne's good there, but the one that was having the problem we have here at the shop, we're going to tear into it ourselves and see if we can figure it out. A lot of times in the past, we'll hire that out. There's contractors that do that kind of stuff, but we like to learn, we like to understand what's going on inside. It really is a big benefit to us to open it up ourselves and get in there and figure out what's going wrong and fix it, and we'll be smarter and better off for the next one around.
So regulator just is an auto transformer. So the system, the transmission system, is fluctuating voltages depending on loads. The distribution system fluctuates depending on loads. The regulator keeps the voltage steady. So it senses, okay, Scott will put in a parameter, it needs to stay within these two voltages, and anytime it goes out of that, it'll step up or step down. That keeps the voltage stable going out of the system.
So is it motor driven and they're rotating?
Lots of moving parts.
Yep.
So they have contacts, it maintains contact all the time with it while it's moving. And, you know, anytime you have moving parts and you get any arcing in there, Scott's crew tests the oil every year to make sure that everything's okay. When you start having arcing or a problem, then that shows up in the oil. It sounds to me like there's a capacitor or something in there.
Yeah, we actually swapped the capacitor, still had the problem, swapped the control, still had the problem. So it's tapping. When it taps, it seems to be working normal, but it's tapping and registering, and it's tapping too many times. And so we have three regulators for the three different phases, and you'll have one that's on tap two, and this one, and the other one will be on tap three, and then this one will be on like -6 or something like that. And so it's showing as a problem, so we got to figure out why.
It's on the right tab, but it's showing, but it's not.
So we got that started. We installed 2 new capacitors on Anticline 303 circuit. That's the circuit that has Lighthouse on it way out west. Brian chose where he wanted those capacitors at, so we went and installed a couple of power poles, hung capacitors on there, got them all programmed into the SCADA system. They're working really well. Everything is communicating really well. We just have to figure out some issues with our SCADA provider, Surveillance is who we use. We're right in the middle of working that out. There's a picture of the one. So this is just kind of east, northeast of Lighthouse, up in the little cul-de-sac up in there in the industrial park. So that's just about done. I mean, the capacitor's up and working. We can control them from SCADA, but the automatic part of it is what we're still working on. We're having some issues with Surveillance, getting that going.
So this area is all underground except for the street lights. So we put an overhead pole in and put a capacitor on it. We had one complaint, but nothing too serious so far. So much cheaper to do it this way, like $10,000 or something cheaper by putting it on poles instead of trying to put it in a metal container on a pad mount. So to save money, we did like as big as industrial park, probably be okay.
Were the complaints because of noise or was the complaints because of
looks?
Are you serious?
Yeah. The one to plan, the guy thought was going to build an overhead power line through there, and that was our first pole of the overhead power line.
Okay. He's trying to get a jump on shutting it down.
Yeah.
Okay, April, can you go back to the... okay, so continued work on AC 305. What that is a new circuit that we're building out of Anticline substation. The power crews installed the cables. Was last year, I guess. And we're still waiting on some engineering to be able to finish that project, but we've installed the recloser, which is the breaker inside the substation that will control that circuit. We're still waiting on engineering so that we finish that, but we've been working on that a little bit this last month. And then we began our summer generation run. So we got the generators all cleaned up, all tuned in and running well. They're running really well. We've been running now for a couple of weeks and everything's going really well. So I think that's all.
2 to 10?
What's that?
You're running about 2 to 10
o'clock? 2 to 10, yeah. Start about 2 o'clock every day and shut down before 10. Yeah.
We're doing that on Monday through Friday. We could actually have some times on the weekend also that we could run them financially beneficial to us, but because it takes manpower to have somebody working on the weekend, we have to pull somebody off the crew to be able to do that. We just have so much work. We don't save enough money to hire somebody to do it. So it's just we're taking the gravy, the time where we save the most money and running them during that time. The person who is running the generator is the guy who is on call. So he goes to a 2 to 11 shift. Or 3 to 11 shift. 3 to 11 shift works at night during those during their own call. Now, if they do get called, they're not supposed to leave while the generators are running, so they'll get the call and they will dispatch, call their guys to go take care of the problem. So, don't want them leaving. There's been a few fires with these engines, not here, but did we ever have one here?
Yeah,
we did have one here.
Yeah. It was me. I was lucky.
Yeah. And so we have cameras. They monitor the cameras, do walk arounds. We don't want them leaving. It's just not worth it. We'll call somebody else out and have them take care of that. And then on that, Scott talked about that circuit out of Gateway area. The reason we added a circuit is because we have Lighthouse Foods, and they are our number one customer as far as revenue. We figured we better get a redundant circuit into them, you know, with all the air conditioning and or the freezer and refrigeration they have in there, that we better have a redundant circuit. So it's not actually ready to go yet, but it's really close. We just went from engineering to set the relays, basically. But the infrastructure is all in there. It's built as a radio tap, and so we can backfeed. If we have one circuit go down, we can feed it with the other. We figured that'd be a prudent way. Seems they are by far our biggest customer. It used to be a tie between Orgill, Walmart, and Lighthouse, but since they've done the upgrade, Lighthouse is by far the biggest.
That's a lot of refrigerators you're running.
It really is, yeah. So, and it's interesting, their power is, I think it's under 7 cents a kilowatt hour is what they pay, because they have such a constant load. You know, they have the demand, they keep their demand pretty flat, and so the power rates are pretty low. They can't complain at all, so.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anybody can complain about that.
Pam, are you able to hear us okay? She probably called and said, I can hear you.
I can hear you. This is Darren.
Darren can hear.
Okay, so Darren, you're on there too. Okay, good.
Brian's
taking another meeting. The UF is having a resource meeting right now, so he's taking care of that meeting. And so I'll go ahead and give him an update. I'm not going to go through everything as detailed as he has, but we've had a kind of a rash of leaky transformers, and these leaky transformers, they can leak and leak and leak. They're not priority, but we have to get it taken care of. And now the crew has gotten done with the transmission project, they're able to get back onto some of these maintenance issues. And so they've changed out a few leaky transformers. And then the beauty of overhead power is that when you have somebody come in and need to hook on that was unplanned, you can just hook on onto the overhead. The underground, you put underground in, I think you have everything covered, and then somebody wants to do something else. You have to dig that underground up, take an outage, cut it, put in another piece of equipment, and then pull new wire in and reconnect it. So the guys, with the growth that's going on right now, they seem to be doing a lot of that, cutting in facilities on the underground. It takes quite a bit of time. There was one on 920 West, Jones Home, and then also one, Mogison Flat. If you're familiar with Mogison Flat, it's across from Sky Ranch, across the street from Sky Ranch. So brand new underground system, somebody wants to do something else now, so we had to go in there and cut it up all. The people pay for it, so we'll go ahead and do it. So that's basically the updates that we have. Are there any questions? Okay.
Thanks to Chris for coming out and helping us on that little project that afternoon.
Yeah, Charles had a breaker he had to change out, so we came out and de-energized it. But we do that stuff quite often. TJ is the one that normally will do that. He'll just.
So I called Chris TJ when he came out.
Did you?
TJ
was going to say,
hi, TJ.
That's pretty funny. Okay, Mac is left. I think he probably took the agenda with him. We don't have a lot of issues going on right now. You know, we're just working. The budgets have been passed. We haven't gotten those in our hands yet. But I think the budget passed fairly closely to how we had it proposed. Clark did call me in and said, you have to get this under this level. And I was able to get it underneath that level. We'll get that budget out to the board as soon as we get that in our hands. I think Clark takes him quite a while to get things done. There's a lot going on in the city right now, so it seems to take a few weeks before we get the actual budget in our hands. And we talked about signing up for a solar project, and that solar project was oversubscribed by another entity, but there is another one that's similar pricing, and so we just went ahead and just transferred over to that one. We'll see if we can get that. In fact, that's what the resource meeting is about, that Brian's on there. Somebody within UF, but not in the resource project, that wants to be part of that project. I tend to not want to be part of that, or not let them in, but I guess, because we pay dollars to be in that project, and they're not paying dollars to be in the project, and that's a resource project as it goes out and gets resources, and then you sign up for them. So, and I think it's our neighbor to the west that is probably the one that wants to be in it. But, and then you should have all received invitations to the Young Member Conference. If not, I will forward that on to you. They are going to hold it in Midway, the Zermatt Resort, and there'll be some that will go, some that will stay. You know, you can view it at home. We'll have it set up here also in this room. And depending on how many people go, I may go if we get enough, you know, a few people going, I'll go to Midway also. And well, there are a couple other things I should have written them down.
When is the conference, Dave? Because I haven't received anything.
You haven't? Okay. I noticed Friday is when it all came out. Let me look. The conference is August 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. I have not looked at the agenda to see if they have any events on the 16th. 16th is on Sunday, and that is when they normally have the little social in the evening. And then the pre-conference starts Monday, where we have some speakers, and then they have the excursion Monday afternoon. That'd be on the 17th. I'll have to look to see. I will forward that this afternoon. I'll be in meetings most of the day, but I'll get that forwarded out to everyone. And you can either register yourself, or you can have April register for you. So there is a ability to register yourself, and you can sign up for the excursions and whatnot yourself. So, but either way is good. You know, it's good to let me know when you do register, so I know how many people are going, so that we can coordinate manpower. So I'd like to have, depending on how many people go to Midway, I'd like to have at least, I'll go and maybe one other person to kind of help keep everybody not in line, but kind of herd it around, and then have somebody here to down here.
You need a super chaperone.
Yeah.
Some of us go.
Yeah, some of you guys get kind of wild and crazy out there. Kind of have to keep a
close watch.
Yeah, keep the limitation on the wine and the beer on most of you. So, can't do much of that. But other than that, is there any?
Who drove for who on a couple of trips?
We're not talking anymore about that. There is a the issue on the Sand Hollow Roadway continued, and it we'll be having a meeting about that this afternoon. Hurricane City put a road on the UM's right of way issue, and that is still quite an issue. We talked about it at length about 3 weeks ago, and it was interesting because Rick Hansen, who is he's a electrical engineer, worked for an engineering firm that does a lot of our work here. Now he's a power director at the City of Washington. He was, what is the issue? You can use the surface of the roadway. And what is the issue? It's like it's all over the place, but there's one entity in the project who really thinks it's a big issue and really pushing the issue. So we discussed at length again today, and I'm hoping Faye and Arthur and Clark are all in the meeting, because I think we have standing to be there is the roadway. It'll be interesting to see how that discussion goes, because I have pictures of similar roadways, similar poles in the roadway, unprotected. At least the ones on the Sand Hollow Roadway are protected by the Jersey Barrier. That it's quite an issue. We met, you know, we talked about that claim with the developer, and we met on a phone call last week, and basically Faye is supposed to be sending a letter out. It's going out to the city council. Have you received the letter yet? I'm going to request it goes up to our board not to engage, not to discuss advance that issue.
He did send that.
Okay, yeah. So I know he has visited at least one of our power board members at length, and you know, you can listen, but they have actually filed a suit now against the city. So it should be with him about that. So let that work its way through. But it was kind of enlightening. I was really happy with the phone call because there's a lot of things I knew through an executive session that I feel like I could tell everyone. And I actually learned some new information, but I came out of there feeling about 3 inches taller than I did before the meeting started. Other than that, that's about it. And it's about time to get on to the Carbon Free Power Project.
Dave, before you shut down, with all the growth we're seeing, and I think we're going to see more, how do you stand as far as utilities go and so forth?
We, as far as resources, we are short resources at peak times. We have been for quite a while. It costs a lot of money to be able to buy resources for those peaks, but there's been adequate power out on the market at fairly reasonable prices. We should see $400 a megawatt power during these hot days, like a year and a half or a decade and a half ago. Now it gets up to about $60 or $70 a megawatt. So there seems to be plenty of resources. But as far as our infrastructure, we're still hanging in there, doing quite well. The growth that we're having is in places that we have capacity. So we're doing okay. We're working on getting the transmission line rebuilt from Brentwood to Clifton Wilson with bigger transmission wire, bigger distribution wire, and ability to have more circuits. So that's our biggest key right now to keep up with capacity is getting the what we're going to call a Sky Mount sub in. And it's about 2 years out.
You're doing okay manpower-wise.
Manpower-wise, we could always use more guys, but we're doing okay. You know,
I'm looking to build an empire. Can you keep up?
Yeah, we can. We have two fairly inexperienced guys, but their experience comes up. It's like getting more guys. You know, you can rely on them more for a bit of their ability. We're doing okay manpower wise. Scott could always use another guy. He's getting a little bit behind, but we just talked about this today that we can move a guy from this line crew over to the substation crew to help them out. Now that we're not working on a major project right now, they're just doing smaller jobs. So they can either split their line crew into two crews or move a guy over to up Scott. So okay, that's that ability. We're doing okay. Equipment, we're slowly building our equipment. We're replacing our old stuff, getting some bigger equipment to be able to do our work.
On your budget for this company, do you have any expense?
We do. And that's the reason I had to meet with Clark. We have a lot of capital. I'll go over that next meeting. What's that?
The digger. The digger.
Yeah. There's a digger there. A new digger there, which is equipment, is what we're trying to get through this next budget year. Ours is old. I can't say it's small. It's a strong boom for that truck, but it's just 15 years old. This time to get something in. We're going to keep both of them, so we can run two at a time. Okay. Cool. You adjourned?
Yeah. I'm going to go to the next.